Welcome to VFN Radio. Good morning. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here to encourage you. We're so excited this morning because John's alarm clock went off, and he is with us. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Also joining us this morning is the producer of VFN Radio, whose hair falls out as you look at him. Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. A shout out this morning to all of our new listeners that have been joining us sitting in the virtual stadium. Good morning, Ellen. So glad to have you. Tam and Ellie and Deb and Mary and Matthew and Kath. Oh my goodness. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Cam and Douglas and Raz and Vicky and Doris and Dean. We just love to have our new audience members sit down in the virtual stadium and be encouraged. This is going to be a day to join us. We're going to be dealing today with sexuality and the church. Somebody just turned their dial down in their office. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio, and I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me this morning to encourage you, to enlighten you, to share with you about two numbers, 2050, the 2050 crisis. And joining me to do that is Pat Hamilton.
Here.
Here.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Here we are. It is Friday. You know what that means? Fried chicken. I wish that would be. That'd be great if that was fried chicken. As a matter of fact, has anybody got any chicken?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, I'm not the kind of person that can eat Fritos and lose weight. So I just want to say this morning to all of us fried chicken eaters out there, isn't it good? It's so good.
Fritos and hot sauce.
And hot sauce on top of
what was that? What was that?
But he doesn't eat sour cream.
Slap your mama hot sauce.
Oh, yeah, you heard about that. Was that something?
I heard slap
it throws me for a loop just hearing it again. I looked at him like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, I'm going to shout out this morning to all of our VFN radio audience sitting in the virtual stadium. Thank you to everybody that's helping to make all this possible. We are just expanding our reach. The vine is growing around the world, and we're getting wonderful, encouraging notes and posts and support, and it's just really cool. It's really cool because we're beginning a conversation, a real conversation, mm-hmm. about the real life that we face. But at the same time, we're talking about these facts. Mm-hmm. We're looking and taking, like a flashlight would look at something in the dark. We look at these dark facts, and then we say, let's illuminate it. Let's put the light of God's word on it. And, you know, God's word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. It tells us where we are and where we're going. And so we shine a light on it. And mm-hmm. then with that light, it helps us understand, okay, then I'm off the path maybe. I need to get back on the path. You know, sin is getting off the path, by the way. It's not this thing that this secret thing that you can't find, nobody put your finger on it. It's pretty plain. Mm-hmm. God says take a left in two blocks, then take a right at the train, and then go mm-hmm. down a little bit more at the red light and take another right and then pull in the driveway. Mm-hmm. Well, if you just do a U-turn, go the other way, that's called being off the path. That's called mm-hmm. sin, right? But you don't mm-hmm. necessarily know that if you don't have a map. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to live a life for God without a map, without the word of God, is like playing football without lines on the field. Mm-hmm. And make available today on VFN TV for all of our audience. By the way, you can see VFN TV at VFNTV.com, Living Life Within the Lines. L-I-N-E-S, Lions, not Lions. Thinking about Detroit and Steve. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Steve, in Pittsburgh. He arrived at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
Yes, I know. When the text came in.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm messing with you. Actually, I didn't even hear it. And so I'd have a tendency not to hear it between a certain time and a certain time.
No, he made it. Awesome. It.
Yeah, he totally made it. You know, he was trying to ride and drive through the Smokies instead of, you know, putting it in low gear. So he says, man, I'm cranking it at 5,000 RPMs and it's going nowhere. I'm like, you're going to have to switch it to a low gear. he drives a stick, you know.
Yeah.
He drives a stick. And, of course, this is an automatic. U-Haul type trucks are like automatic. So anybody can automatically drive it. And, of course, by the way, if you're driving in the mountains, those lower numbers are to help your engine and your transmission survive that. And maybe, you know, maybe there may be an app for that, John. Because
I'm searching for you, brother.
Right, right. Because I know that he mentioned something about an app for you, right? Something like an app.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that app.
Yeah, the one that makes you taller?
Makes you taller.
No.
Oh, yeah, right.
But, yeah, he made it. We're so excited about it, you know, for everybody in our audience. Just be in prayer today for, you know, Steve. He's going to be going to this national company that's embraced him and for an interview today.
Yeah,
this afternoon. Have his own possible store there. And we're excited about that and can't wait to hear the report on there. But he made it in the U-Haul. He loaded up the truck and he went to Beverly. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to be talking today about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to first let John have the first hour.
Pat has a second.
Well, you guys are quiet. Y'all are quiet. Now, y'all are a lot of help.
Right.
Okay, we'll just start on Second Street.
Well, it all started.
It all started. Well, anyway, this is a very serious topic. It's so serious, and there's so many people held captive by it that nobody wants to talk about it. Right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
It is true.
It's true. It's true.
So true.
And John, we won't use any names. No, I'm joking.
Cricket.
He's like, no. Okay, anyway, we're just playing around. We're having fun this morning. There is a 2050 crisis, they're calling it. A 2050 crisis. And that's a very important number.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll just start out by allowing, Pat Robinson on 700 Club, you know, CBN, was talking about it this week.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just hear what he has to say, and we'll come back.
Something is not good, ladies and gentlemen. It is pervasive. It is sucking up money, and it is destroying the relationship of young men and young women. And it's one of the world's most profitable businesses, and it's one of the oldest. It's called porn. It's from the Greek word porneia, which, that's where we get it. It has to do with the sexual activity, and the porn industry generates billions of dollars, and many times from big corporations. And you may be surprised by what's behind the business boom in hardcore porn. We're not going to show you a lot of salacious stuff, but we'll tell you something that will shock you. Mark Martin has that story.
Even if you're not looking for it, you could be innocent. If you go on the computer, on the internet, and you're looking for something good, it will find you.
15-year-old Zach is talking about porn, and it's hardcore. While innocently surfing the net, your child can come face-to-face with a sexually explicit pop-up ad.
It is deviant. It's aberrant. Kids are seeing content that no 12- or 13-year-old is mentally, psychologically, or emotionally prepared to deal with.
If parents don't know what to look for or how to protect their kids online, the click of a mouse can usher in a nightmare. Take, for instance, Renee's story.
Then through a minimized porn site and our computer's history button, we discovered that our precious 11-year-old son had been to hundreds of internet pornography sites in the middle of the previous few nights.
Renee's son became hooked.
We have spent the last 10 years trying to keep our son away from this drug with little success, seeking counselors who could help him and being frustrated and angry that we were unable to protect our child.
Morality and Media President Patrick Truman tells CBN News, the $120 billion porn industry blankets the internet with millions of websites, and the young aren't the only victims. Adults also become intensely addicted, while porn executives become incredibly wealthy.
The bulk of the commercial pornography industry is a handful, relative handful, 60, 80 companies that control most of those commercial sites. So they're looking for revenue. And you don't just get revenue when someone buys your video or buys time on your website for either a live performance or to view a video.
Simply clicking on a pop-up ad fills the pockets of the porn industry without the internet user even buying anything.
What you in fact get money for is clicks. It's the business model that Google has. And so the more you click, the more money they make. Some people think, well, I just look at it a little bit. Yes, every time you do, the porn industry makes money. And then you multiply that individual by millions of people in the United States that do the same thing. The porn industry is getting rich off you.
Internet safety experts say a strong defense at home is the only way to stop this immoral cash flow. Families need to block content and establish safety rules for kids and adults. This can be done through filtering and monitoring software and through accountability partners.
So that every website that individual goes to, you get an email giving you an update of where they've been. That's accountability, and you need that.
Know what your kids are doing online and stay engaged with them and recognize that you can't do it alone. You need some help.
Timely advice, especially with research showing porn's effect on the family. 4 out of 5 16-year-olds now regularly access it online, and more than half of divorces blame internet pornography as a primary reason for the breakup of the marriage. Mark Martin, CBN News.
You think about it. Of course, in this particular discussion that they were having, they're talking about children. They're talking about children that are being exposed to 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
4 out of 5 mm. children that are being exposed to it.
Wow.
But the media in general, everywhere you look, I mean, when we were in New York, we're riding down the streets and going through the Lincoln Tunnel, and what was on the billboards is pornography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pornography. And in what you're looking at, we first want to talk about the reality that it's a spiritual warfare. The enemy's trying to pervert or seduce what is a natural appetite that the Lord has given mankind. And there's several things that he's doing. I mean, and one of the strong ones that the adversary is doing, because he says in Ephesians 6:12, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Imagine having a war room. In the war room, they're strategizing about different things they can do to be able to take down the nation. This is in theory,
mm-hmm.
not. This is happening all over the place.
Right.
And one of the ways that there can be several different ways to do it. They can have political infiltration. They can bring in spies. They can begin to send out propaganda and drop it from airplanes. You know, they could start taking people out. They could start sending a spy in to have some sort of relationship or, you know, adulterous relationship with one of your key officials in your administration. And next thing mm-hmm. you know, they steal secrets from your company, you know, and there's all kinds of ways that it happens. And their goal is to destroy that nation, whoever's having a war room against a particular nation. Well, there's a war going on. It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war, and it's a war against the church, against God's people, against mankind in general. Not, I don't want to say the church, but the church is being attacked as well.
Sure.
You have to understand that God loves you. No matter where you are right now, that he loves you. Satan hates you. Satan wants to hold you captive. He wants to destroy you. He wants to make you feel valueless when you're so valuable that God died for you. You're so important that he gave you authority that you can choose him or not choose him. And when you choose him, the enemy is not going to just sit back. He wants to destroy. The word devil means one who gets in between and divides.
Right.
And so there's a strategy. We can't just brush it off as culture. We can't just brush it off as this is just the way things are now. You know, we can't brush things off because the truth is that your television, not your computer, your television, you know, has pornography on it. Your television, yeah. you've got to be very careful what you're exposing yourself to, because it'll do the very same thing and it'll lead out into what it did. I know that Dr. Dobson did an interview with Ted Bundy, which was a man who went around college campuses, raping and strangling and killing young ladies in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he was arrested, as a matter of fact, by an officer in Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah.
For a busted tail light, mind you. And
well.
But when he was interviewed by Dr. Dobson, he said, you know, what happened here? You know, and long story short, he says, listen, and a lot of people listening might not even know what this is, but there used to be a catalog. There was a company called Sears and Roebuck, and they would send a catalog out. And it was the way that America got their merchandise. And it would be shipped to the local postal office, and you'd go pick it up. And in the catalog, he would look at pictures of women that were scantily clad, you know, in the underwear parts of the mm-hmm. of the catalog. And that created in him, it stirred something in him that built. And this is a Sears catalog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is a Sears catalog. And when you think about it, you think about, you know, God tells us very plainly in James, you know, he tells us that you just can't do that. You can't do that. He says in James chapter 1, verse 13, that, you know, when tempted, and a temptation is this, that when you're on the right road and something is tempting you to take a turn, mm-hmm. something is tempting you to go astray from
right.
God's original design. And he says, when tempted, no one should say, you know, God is tempting me. So realize this is not God. And if God's not telling you to get on a road, and then he tells you to get off the road.
Mm.
That was Satan mm-hmm. telling you to get off the road.
That's right.
You know? Right.
For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. So that's not God.
Right.
You know. But each one is tempted. So listen, everybody's tempted. You know, every one of us are tempted. And Jesus is even tempted just like us in every way. Yeah, he did it without sin. But with every temptation, he says that he provides for us a way out. And what today is about is a way out. We're going to be talking about, by God's grace, is a way out. The church has got mm-hmm. to get out. We got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit. You know, does it really matter what's happening in your closet if it's in the closet? I mean, what's closet sin sends you to hell?
Right. Yeah.
It's so crazy. We're going to talk about some crazy things going on in the church. I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? You think... You know, what you're doing in your closet's different than what they're doing in their closet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, he says, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away. Think about it. Dragged by your own evil desires. This is thing inside of us that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7 called our sin nature. And that if you mess with that, if you allow the enemy to mess with that and you play with that part of your sin nature, you know, it's going to grab you. Mm-hmm. He says, but mm-hmm. each one is tempted when by his own evil desire. You quit blaming your junk on everyone else. You are never going to get free. If you know what blame stands for, the BLAME, but look at my excuse. We are so tired of hearing you blame everybody else for your own evil desires.
Right.
Come on, you know, get over it. I mean, at least own it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
At least own it. Jiminy crickets. Anyway, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after then after desire has conceived, so there's a process of, you know, it may have been, you know, hey, what's the big deal? Nothing happened. Everything's totally fine. You know, like Samson, you know, you shake yourself and it's like, no big deal. And then you do it again. And then next thing you know, you're like Samson, ball-headed, anointing's gone, held captive, and can't find your way out.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Your eyes are burned out like his eyes. You can't see anymore.
That's right.
And they got you in chains and bondage. That's right. It was sexual sin where this man of God, this deliverer of God, is called by God, strong man, very strongest man ever, was called to deliver God's people, and the enemy went after him. But yet it was his own evil desires inside of him. You have to understand that Satan goes around like a roaring lion trying to entice your sin nature. And, you know, it's really important to think about what sin sends you to hell, because you have somebody that's evilly religious who's going to bust hell wide open, you know, shaming somebody else that is fighting for their every breath that they breathe, trying to get free from a sin, who knows it's sin,
right?
And they're crying out to God, which could be some sexual sin, but they have some, you know, religious evil person who believes they are their gifts, right? Many people come to him that day and say, "Lord, Lord, did we not?" And he goes, Jesus said, "You're evil." He said, "You're an evil doer," and they don't know that. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, which sin is wrong? Every sin is wrong. But yet, God knew that we were sinners. Why we were sinners? Why we were on the wrong road? He died for us. Listen, so God's love for you doesn't change just because you happen to be on that road, and he or she happens to be on this road.
That's right.
I mean, come on. We are in trouble. The 2050 stands for 20% of women in the church are addicted to internet pornography. 20%. And 50%, half of the men in the church, according to statistics, are addicted to pornography. I mean, these are the ones that took the test and answered the questions.
That's right.
Right.
And told the truth.
Yeah, yeah. And so he tells us very specifically, although he said, when a person is tempted, he's tempted by his own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So in other words, you had the desire first, but the sin came second. Listen, if you have a desire to eat some food, you're not evil. If you let the enemy tell you that that's bad, you're going to rapidly shoot in to the sin. He said, after desire has conceived, so that the desire was there, then the desire conceived, which means, okay, you went with the wrong desire and you shouldn't have gone with that, and then it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, which means there is, comes a time that it's a place of grace in your life, the season that you live, that you can call out to God and be set free. But if you don't deal with that sin, if you don't repent of the sin, if you don't come to Jesus and make it right, he says, then sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. But I want to encourage you first that there's no sin taking you that's not common to man. And it's so much more, you know, we're going to make available probably through the VFN TV store, probably zero tolerance. You know, you need to need, it's, I don't know if we can make it available any other way, because it, you got, it's not about sexuality. It's about authority.
That's right.
And the enemy makes it about sexuality. It's all about sexuality, sexuality. But the truth is, you know, Satan wants your ring. He wants your ring, but you got to bow down to his gods to get his ring. And it, once you realize that's what it is, sir, you know, once you realize that's what it is, ma'am, then you're going to be ticked off. You're going to see what it's about. It's no, it's not about that. And it's going to be easier for you to understand. I'm not going to give up my ring. I'm not going to give up authority here. So, you know, I understand what you're trying to do now. You're trying to deceive me. You're a deceiver. And people are trying to take my ring. you know, and it's all in zero tolerance. And it's very important because that's the end time battle. The end time battle is going to be a spiritual battle between the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that everybody had been seduced by Jezebel during the time mm-hmm. of Elijah's ministry, and she had her own prophets.
Yeah.
You know, she had her own religion.
Yeah.
And it wasn't God's.
Right.
And she took over the king's ring. She seduced Ahab and got his ring. He was bowed down to her God, so he was in all that sin. He even offended God. He would offend God by what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But he says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, Malachi chapter 4, 5 and 6, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that I will send Elijah,
mm-hmm.
which is the spirit of Elijah.
Right.
And he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. What does that mean? Before he comes, there's going to be a battle.
Mm-hmm.
I got good news for you that when you go back and study what happened with Jezebel, it doesn't end up well.
Right.
But if you don't understand, you don't need to be serving Jezebel and her gods. When you look at it, I'm looking at Revelation right now, chapter 2, when Jesus is talking prophetically, which is history in advance, to the church. He says to the church of Thyatira, he says, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. I mean, you're a busy, busy man, busy woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my goodness. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet or a prophetess, and by her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality.
Mm.
I mean, that's the battle that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Great seduction in every form. Sexuality is just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. I can get my dog to roll over for a treat. But so many people today, and that's the reason why, is because my dog's flesh driven.
Yeah.
You know, Jude talks about that. He says, you argue about things you don't even understand, and like unreasoning animals, the very things you do understand is what's destroying you. And the truth is, you have to be very careful in this today's culture because people are so easily manipulated by just throwing them a stimulus.
Yeah, right.
Of any kind. Wow. Money, and they roll over. Boom, it's like, stop it. You have to be careful that helping... As a leader, by the way, and if you're a leader and you're listening, be very, very careful that you don't do things that seduce the flock into doing something that they're doing for the wrong reasons. You need to make sure that everything that you're doing, like Paul said, when I come to you, I don't come to you with any enticing words or fancy stuff. He says, I just come to you with the power of God because I want you to know that it's God and it's not me. And it's so important to do that. But we have a very seduced culture right now. And when we're getting saved and we're coming out of that culture, we have a tendency to be easily manipulated by what we get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you have to tell me that you're not going to just give me something to control me. You're not going to reward me with a biscuit.
Right. With a bone.
With a bone. You know, that you're gonna grow me up in God and teach me how to hear the voice of God and realize that God rewards me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the authority and the choice to do what's right or wrong, and you're going to honor my choice, you're not going to control me right. Because being controlling is the very thing that is going to just produce more seduction and all the things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
We got some statistics we're going to talk to you about. It's going to be a shocker, but there's hope. In today's program, we're going to be talking about different things that's going to encourage you, places to go for help. To give you a better perspective of it, to talk about the craziness that's going on. And I think it's going to really encourage you. And this is all going to be made available to you on the VFN Torch. So you're going to be able to go, things we're talking about, there'll be more things there for you. We'll be right back. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on Fill the Stadium Now. And maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them. Where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Giving.
Hey, John. I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me, what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know apps, Steve. Come on, I got to bring you the 21st century.
Yeah, no, I'm behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFN TV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV.
John, you remember that? Remember that kind of like that little video clip of that guy running during that slow mo? How did that go?
No.
Like the marathon runner, the guy was like, chick, and it's like showed him running or something. Come on, you're from the 70s. I know because that came out right before me, and that was a popular movie.
Didn't you confuse it, Pat?
What movie was that?
It was like Chariots of Fire or something, there was a marathon runner.
80s, by the way.
Okay, it was 80s. Okay,
right.
But what I will tell you about Marathon, okay,
is that
BFN Radio is available on the Marathon weekend. Steve, you know what that is? That is every weekend, the whole week's radio program are back to back to back. It's the VFN Radio Marathon.
Wow.
So throughout the weekend, you can enjoy all of the great segments, all the great insights, God's news behind the news from Monday through Friday, all on your weekend on a 24-hour loop. I encourage you stay plugged in and enjoy your weekend with the VFN Radio Marathon.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you as we talk about the reality of what's taking place in our culture is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We were talking about the 2050 crisis, the 2050 crisis, and it's tragic. It's tragic crisis. Because it's what, you know, statistics, if somebody says, well, the average is 40. Mm-hmm. Well, that means there's people on the left side of the average and on the right side of the average. There's people that are closer. I think about this because I remember getting graded on the curve in school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that the person with that real high grade really messed you up, messed the curve up. I don't know if they grade on a curve anymore. But
I don't know.
God doesn't grade on a curve. And so...
Thank you.
And so with that, if you say average, that is like at the top of the bell curve, or that's like the average, which means you have all these people involved in something, and then you add up all their involvement, and you find out what is the average involvement, which means some people are a little into it, some people are a lot into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the average of the people being into it is this number.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody says, you know, 20%, the 2050 crisis, the church 20% of the women in the church are addicted to internet pornography, and 50% of men are, Christian men. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means out of the 100,000 people you see standing in front of a courthouse yelling and screaming at politicians to put the Ten Commandments up, 50,000 of them are addicted to internet pornography. And we're not talking about men's eyes. Get over men's eyes. It's God's eyes that you're going to you're held accountable to. That's right. The whole thing, the fear of man, where everybody's trying to look right instead of be right at the cross. And people are into imagery big time. Yep. Now think about it. You watch a movie, and you walk into this big theater, and I watched a movie about this young parents that couldn't have a child, and so they grew one in the garden. I don't know what it's called. It's very good, whatever it was. And they described, you know, what the boy would be, if they, a kid, whatever it was, and they put it in this box and they buried it. And surprisingly, this kid, something darts into their house and jumps up under the covers and they screamed and they ran. It had dirt all over it, whatever it was. And they looked at it like, oh my God, what is this? And they realized, they thought it was a runaway kid, but it was, you know, their dream, a parent's dream to have his child. And you go, and so this child was everything they ever wanted. And so you can imagine, you know, long story short, it was green. It's called green. Somebody find out what that is when I'm talking. And it was just so emotional because the parents were just loving it, and they were overprotective of the kid. And he was already born at seven. They don't have it that way. Seven or eight or something. And he never became a teenager. Anyway, long story short, at the end of a year, they had a year with him, I believe. Then the seasons came, and just like a vine, because he was like a vine.
Right.
And when the sun would come up, he would just stretch out his arms and look up to the sun like he was taking substance from the sun. To me, we're the, you know, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, and we look to the sun together. It was just emotional. But when they turn the lights on, because the kid, you know, the vine dies at the end of the thing, I guess we'd say. And these grown men. Yeah, yes, me too. we went through this whole emotional roller coaster. And these women were just, you know, the women are easier to go through these emotions, but they too.
Yeah.
And so we walked in this empty room, and we sat in these chairs. We looked at a piece of material. They took a projection system that had an image on it, and they projected it in a way that we all could see it in a very large way. And then they put sound around us, and so we watched this imagery. And we went through this whole emotional experience. I think it's called Timothy Green, the old life of Timothy Green, something of that nature. But the what's that?
The Odd Life.
Oh, the Odd Life of Timothy Green. Thanks. And that we legitimately went. Our emotions went all over the map. We went all over the map.
Yeah.
It's like Last Ounce of Courage. You know, we were all just in tears in that movie, Last Ounce of Courage, where this father who lost his son in Afghanistan, we were living through him and we're feeling this thing. And we're like, we were into this thing. It's like, but there were actors and they were reading scripts and we weren't even looking at them. We were looking at a picture of them. And and is that an image? And that, but how can I went through all these emotions and oh my goodness. And wow, look how God's designed us. We can actually watch something, and we can go through all of these ranges of emotions, and we can be bonded in a way that you remember, kind of just takes that image of what you saw, and it puts it across your heart, and you just see this couple that wanted to have this child so bad, and then they got this child, and it was just all this, and it was just like, what a great encounter, and a great, I mean, it was so... It was a proper use, a proper application. It was the right road,
right?
For that part of us, it wasn't wrong, you know. In the context, Last Ounce of Courage, about standing up for your country and your constitution, and your sons died dead in Iraq, and my goodness, you have a right to stand up, and we should be emotional. And this is really happening, but we're watching a picture of somebody acting this out. It wasn't real, but yet it was real to us, and so it is real because if it is real, Jesus said, "If you've done it in your heart, you've done it." So there's something about us that And so then you talk to somebody and you say, well, you didn't watch Timothy Green. You watched a different movie. Mm-hmm. And you sat there and you watched in the theater or on your television two people have sexual relationship. They're actors. They're not husband and wife.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you, who went through, you teary-eyed man and woman in the Timothy Green movie, you teary-eyed man and woman in Last Ounce of Courage, look at God and say, what?
Mm.
When you're watching that sexuality take place. You're watching them have sex. You're watching them go through these motions, and you're messing with that part of your sin nature that God said, you do this thing, it's going to grab a hold of you, and it's going to snatch you. It's going to take you. Listen, the issue is not as much on our computers as it is on our televisions and our movie screens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, they only use God's name in this movie in vain 17 times. I was just so pleased how progressive Hollywood's going. Mm-hmm. It's like, did you hear them cuss your name?
Yeah.
What? They did? They got some money. And it's like, listen. So the first way I was talking about how we're created, that was a good experience. That was wonderful. You know, you go through that, but you realize that was real. I mean, you're feeling those emotions, man. Things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way, if you're sitting here watching somebody do what God said don't do, especially in regards to sexuality,
mm-hmm.
Man, it's gonna grab you,
mm-hmm.
and it's gonna own you, and you're gonna be like Samson with your eyes burned out, bald headed, and you're gonna be in some bondage somewhere, praying, God, just use me one more time. God, just forgive me. It's like that's the enemy's goal for us, is to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
God did use him. He says he killed more of the flesh in his death than he did in his life. He killed more of the Philistines in his death than he did in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it works. That's how we're designed to work, which means we have to be real careful. You know, that's why he tells us to cast down imaginations that exalt itself up against the knowledge of God. He's talking about that we can imagine good things. We can have a vision for our life and for our family and for our ministry and business and all that, and it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. But you can't sit here and visualize, you know, having sexual relationships with a person.
Mm-hmm.
That you just can't do that unless it's your spouse, and it's, you know, in regards to having those kind of images in your mind, because it'll grab a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are today, and so the commercials. I mean, you have to turn your head. I mean, you know, the biggest thing is just, you know, avoid most of it.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, you know, you're trying to be more righteous then. No, I'm just trying not to be enticed.
I'm just trying to survive.
You know, the enemy twists. The enemy twists you trying to make a covenant with your eyes. The enemy says, well, you're just trying to be all religious. No, I'm just trying not to be taken down. Mm-hmm. It's important, because if you don't tell people that that's what you're trying to do, they think that, oh, look, at you're able to, you know, they can't control it, but you can control it. It's like, no, you should avoid it, because Jesus also said it in Matthew 6:22, I believe it. He says, if your eye is dark, then your whole body is dark. Whatever we're letting into our eye, if you're letting those images into your eye, then it's on your heart. Mm-hmm. He says, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. And we're in a culture now that pretty much doesn't want to do anything naturally called relationship. They just want to do it, imagine that it's being done. You know, somebody texts you and they go, well, you know, or they say, you know, I was talking with so-and-so. And you go, oh, well, how are they doing? Oh, they're doing fine. And you're talking. And this, you find out, it's like, so you haven't really talked to them? You were just reading their Facebook?
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, you know, but isn't that kind of eerie that you didn't want to really talk to them, but you were talking to me as if you had a conversation with them and you knew things in their life, but you really only know it because you nosed and pilfered their things? You know, what happens is it's, when you think about this particular word I want to talk about, is it's important to understand the word. When you think about the definition of this word. If you're on a particular road, as I was talking about, and you get off the road, if you veer off the course in the road, that's called, the word is called to pervert your course. I mean, it's like you were on a road,
mm-hmm.
and your course got perverted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the word perverted is turned into some thing that those are perverted identify right. with, and versus that, listen, all men are perverted, had gotten off the path,
mm-hmm.
and while we were yet perverted, Christ died for us, because it's about being on the path. I mean, what mm-hmm. do you really think, you know, robbing a bank, that you're going to have a place in heaven, and somebody else happened to see an image that God said this is heaven? Do you really see yourself as a high, I mean, come on.
Right.
Right.
You know, and so the word perverted, the enemy perverts our course. And so we have to be careful and realize, I'm on the wrong road.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw all this other stuff as the accuser begins to talk, and hopefully we'll have available soon a message called The Accuser, Learning to Live with the Accuser on VFN TV. It's very important because the enemy's going to try to accuse you of everything. He got you in the mess, and now he's going to accuse you when you're trying to get out of the mess.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
And so... so to pervert is to get off the course. To get off the course. To get off the course that God's designed for us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Join me. Help me here. And so with that, then all we have to do is make a decision to get back on the course. To get back on the course. And do what's right. It's called repentance.
Mm-hmm.
It's called getting back on the course of repentance and a repentance in our life. Well, you think about this, that in regards to food, when you think about food, that in regards to food, it's a natural appetite that God's given you.
Yeah.
You know, and you should eat. I mean, God's given you an appetite to eat, and it's not wrong. The appetite's not wrong. It's not wrong. And you should eat.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But if all of a sudden you think in your heart an enemy accuses you because you have an appetite, you have a desire to eat, that you're wrong.
Right.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
And then now you haven't even eaten yet, but you already feel bad that you have an appetite.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you're supposed to eat. It's normal. It's normal to eat. And so because he calls that evil, and you have to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So then you start to eat, and now he calls that bad. And what mm-hmm. a natural appetite now has been perverted. In the mindset, the enemy's told you is bad, and passion denied perverts. And now all of a sudden, what was normal and what God said was normal, that it's got off the right, wrong course and needs to be steered back on to the right course.
Mm-hmm.
Because the second you start thinking food is evil and appetite's evil, it's the second you're like binging at night and you can't think about nothing but food. You can't think about nothing but food. Think about it. It just takes over.
Right.
Because the enemy called what was good evil.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm struggling with all these food issues because I didn't realize it was a natural appetite. So it has to be steered back. You know, you don't stop hunger, you yeah. steer hunger.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't steer, it'll be all over the map. You'll yeah. be eating all kinds of things.
Right.
And so just like a natural appetite, in regards to sexuality, God's given you a sexual appetite, a desire. Listen, it's not wrong. You can't call it wrong. You just can't do it, because if you start calling it wrong and calling it evil, it's going to pervert. It's going to get off its natural track.
Right.
The 2050 crisis. Come on, we've got to deal with this particular issue. If we don't deal with this issue, we're going to have to move into the extra hour to talk about it as well. And I've got some great things coming up to help you in the extra hour. But listen, we got to talk about this, because this Jezebelic spirit is going to take the whole church. And I got good news for you, that if you look and read about Jezebel and Ahab and what happened to God's people, that Elijah rose up and Jehu rose up, and all of God's people who wanted to be free got set free.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's going to set his people free. The church is going to be victorious. The question is, are you going to listen to God and respond, or are you going to be at the bell party that Jehu had for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And not talking about it is not going to help. And so if the fact that you have a natural sexual desire inside of you, you're not evil because of that. That's how God's designed you, just like having a food hunger and desire and that type of thing. But where you, what you do with it's important.
Right.
And sexuality can't be stopped. It can be steered. Hunger for food can't be stopped. It can be steered.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's talking about being on the path or being off the path. Being, you know, sin is being off the path. And so we need to steer back onto the path again. Right. If you just go, hey, I'm just not going to eat anymore, and oh, I'm not sexual. It's like, oh, that's going to turn out.
Yeah, that's going to work.
You know, bulimia, anorexia, you know, addictions to food and pornography and hiding around and taking Twinkies and putting them behind bookshelves and and you know, this natural appetite now is perverted off its track and. All of a sudden, you know, what was natural now is turned into something evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy who enticed you and that you bit is now is conceiving all these things. And now you're like Samson and your eyes are shot. You're ball headed and you're sapped of your energy. And, I mean, we're losing. This is at broad. This is all the way from the pulpit to the wherever, you know, the leaders, pastors and all. That this is a huge attack across America, and America's under attack. And we're going to be talking about some of the strategies that the enemy's using against our country. But one of them is anything sexual, let it go. And it's like, well, we have to be able to find out what God wants us to do with that. Does it mean that we won't have issues or things won't happen? No, we just got to turn to God. This is what he says. We'll talk about, you know, I'm going to share with you in the extra hour today, you know, that through Jesus Christ and the empowerment that comes through the cross of Christ and abiding with him and getting out of this isolated, dying in the midst of a crowd mentality and get related to a family who loves you and will give you emotional attention and touch and the things that you need in your life, that not getting it ends up perverting.
Right.
And, that there's hope. I'm going to talk about that in the extra hour, but here we are. And so understand that the appetites of sexuality are not, it's not evil. But what we do, it's like saying, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people, right?
Right.
And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So sexuality does not cause someone to sin. It's what you do with your sexuality. Mm-hmm. It's what the person does with their sexuality. And if you have sinned, understand, listen, God understands our animal nature.
Right.
He understands our sinful nature. He talks about it in Jude. He talks about like unreasoning animals. The very things that you do understand are destroying you.
Mm-hmm.
But he empowers us to be able to come out of that and get free from that. And why we were all on the wrong path, why we were given over to our animal natures or whatever, mm-hmm. He loved us and he died for us. And then we turn to him and he forgives us. I got great hope. I know we've been talking in details. I got great hope. We're going to share the statistics coming up in the first part of the extra hour in just a moment. You got to join us. If you're going to be leaving us, don't forget you can catch it on the VFN TV app. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. Make sure you catch the extra hour here. We're going to continue this conversation. Got some stats that are going to blow you away. What's really happening with the church today? And understand, nothing that's taking you that's not common to man. We can get through this by the power of God. We just got to bring it out, deal with it, and move on by the grace of God. Those that are leaving us, don't forget you can join us on VFN TV or on your app or go to VFN Torch. More details are going to be available. And those that are sticking with us to hear the rest, see you on the other side.